The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It is Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. And for the newbies, if you're just listening new, my real name, just to let you know. And it works out great for radio. Hey, if you have questions on the Lord, the Bible, Christianity, atheism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, UFOs, the occult, whatever it is you want to talk about, you can give me a call, 877-207-2276. That reminds me, I've been doing a lot of research on COVID and vaccines and masks, and I found some really interesting information on masks today. And got a lot more research to do, but yeah, I'm researching it because people are calling me up and asking me questions about it. And I may or may not have it as a section on CARM, or I may just put it as one single long file and then create a downloadable for people to have so they can take a look at it. But at any rate, haven't decided that yet, but working on stuff, along with other stuff like Seventh-day Adventism and Eastern Orthodoxy and stuff like that. Last night, taught a Bible study, went through Galatians 3, the last half, and laid out the issue of justification, imputation, propitiation, and various things like that. So I hope for those of you who watched it, you enjoyed that. And I think it's about it. So we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Anthony from Oklahoma, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Matt, how you doing? Good to be on your show. Yes, please. I just have a question to ask you. I think, and I don't want to misquote you, Matt, but I believe you said something about like Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic Church. Members of those two denominations, you're saying, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, you said somebody, they won't make it, that they're going to be in eternal punishment. Is that true?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Now, Matt, is it, because I asked you a question, I think, about a month ago, you could be ignorant, that you told me somebody could be ignorant, like within the Oneness Church, because they don't know much. Now, could you be ignorant either in Orthodox or Catholic and I guess still make it to heaven?
Yeah, it's they have to be ignorant of what those groups officially teach. And, they could be ignorant for a few months and then pass away or something like that. Who knows? But I think it's possible.
Okay.
But official Roman Catholic theology and official Eastern Orthodox theology regarding salvation is Antichrist.
Okay. Now, for those who do not believe in eternal security, I mean, they just believe they got to have work in their lives. Matt, could that be part of them being ignorant? I mean, could they still be saved by the grace of God?
Yeah, it would be by grace, the grace of God, of course. For those who teach you can lose your salvation, it doesn't mean they're not Christians. It just means that they teach you can. But a lot of times people don't connect the dots. They don't know how to really think through these things very well. And so if someone says they can lose their salvation, then the corollary question is, well, then what must you do to keep it? And that becomes the critical issue. If they say, well, you've got to be good to get yourself right with God, well, then it's a false gospel and they're a false convert. So you have to ask more questions in those situations.
Okay. Now, Matt, this is the concrete question. Statement that is. So basically what you're saying is if they embrace this theology of work plus salvation, like oneness and the Eastern Orthodox and the other religion, embrace that teaching and the theology with their full wholehearted, they won't make it.
They're false converts, because the Bible clearly teaches us that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone, and that our works are not necessary for salvation, even though those other groups claim that the works are, and that you obtain salvation through various means of your obedience. And this is just a false gospel. It is.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Matt, thank you very much, brother. You take care and have a safe weekend.
You too, man. God bless. All right. That was Anthony from Oklahoma. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Four open lines, give me a call, all right? Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
God bless, Matt. Yes, bless. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, my question is from 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
And in context from this section, I think it begins in verse 11 through 13, but I just added 10 there because it talks about the election. And can you just read those passages to me? Because
sure,
from that understanding, let me go ahead and read it and not give you an understanding of it, if I'm correct or wrong.
For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of Christ, who are chosen, of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Okay? There you go.
Yeah, and the section where it says, if we deny him, he will deny us. Is that kind of referring to, like, my thought was, when I saw this, I've always thought about this, and I've just never put much thought into it until now. But is it referring about, like, someone being persecuted and they tell you to deny Jesus?
Well, it doesn't give a context. It just says that, and actually in verse 9, if I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, he says, he goes on, because of who Christ is. But it's an interesting pericope because, it said we have died with him, we shall also live with him. And that's I talk about that regularly, what it means to have died with Christ, because there are a lot of verses that talk about that. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. What does it mean if you don't endure? You won't reign with him? What does it mean to reign with him? It's like, man, these are a lot of questions here. And if we deny him, he'll deny us. Okay. I think it's just what Paul is doing is just being generic. Talking to large groups of people. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. If we're faithful, he's there. It's just wisdom statements and truth, generic statements. And you'll notice is if we deny him, he'll deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful.
He remains faithful, yeah.
Right. And so the last part of 12 and the first and verse 3 almost seem contradictory, but they're not.
Yeah.
So what's he saying? And then there's different ways of kind of dealing with it. But the main idea is we've died with him, we're going to live with him. Now that's election and federal headship.
Yeah.
And if we endure, it's a manifestation of having lived with him and died with him. And if we deny him, it's just a manifestation that you've not died with him, you're not truly a Christian. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now there's a difference between denying and not being faithful, because he remains faithful if we're not faithful. And it's a difference between not being faithful to God and denying him. Not being faithful is something that we kind of do in a casual way, or might forget that we're supposed to do something right, whatever. But denial is a flat out, hey, I don't believe in him, I don't need it, I don't trust him. That's a denial, and that's not what it's talking about with Christians, because we can become faithless, not the fact that we don't believe in him anymore. That's not what it's talking about there. But it's talking about our slipping as we do. And because he remains faithful, he can't deny himself. And he'll remain faithful to us, which means we can't lose our salvation. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, man.
All right, brother.
Okay, Nelson. God bless. All right. Let's get to Clay from Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, happy Friday to you, Brother Matt. Nice to be able to talk to you again. It's been a while since I called in, and I want to say that I'm very thankful to the Lord for you, because you bring out a lot of stuff that you don't expect to hear, and I like it that what you talk about and what you share, because people are really afraid and scared to hear the truth, and when you do stuff like that, I think it brings people into a somewhat area of realization that what you're saying is the gospel truth. And of course, I like to hear that, because I like to, like I tell people, I like to get digestively fit. Okay, what I'm leading to is I heard a conversation, and I've been listening to the Truth Radio now for a little over 5.5 years, and I'm very thankful for it. And so yesterday I heard this conversation between a wonderful brother and Lord that I've known for about 5 years, you know, getting to hear him on the radio, on Truth Radio, and getting to meet him. He had this pastor on yesterday, and they were talking about certain things. And, of course, this pastor is – they're doing – the church that he pastors is doing a study in the book of Revelation. Okay, he brought out some stuff that I mean, you know, I did this – I've done the study 2 or 3 times before, and, you know, like people say, that's one of the hardest books in the Bible to study because people don't really care to hear about it. I do because I know it has meaning to it because it's lining up with the book of Daniel. They were talking about certain things, and they were saying that this pastor used the word globalization and the first 5 letters are totalization in regards to what is going on, to all the stuff that is happening, like with COVID-19, all the stuff like in Afghanistan, which is really sad to me because, you know, there are people that are losing their lives.
You have a question, though?
Do you know the meaning of a globalization? I heard that yesterday in this other word. Is that lining up with what the Bible was saying, that God the Father is going to send his son back real soon?
Globalization is when the world in its trade, in its commerce, its technology, all becomes unified, and borders are lessened, so that's what it is. One of the problems with it is that those who are in control of that kind of a system aren't altruistic. They're usually selfish, because in order to get to a place of globalization power, you have to be in a corporation or a governmental system with a lot of technological capability, and movements like that become self-preserving, and they guard themselves. And so with that power, they oppress others. And this is what we're seeing with Google, with Twitter, and with others, where they censor what can be said, what cannot be said, and things like this. Also, this is a side note. I need to start studying the issue of how technological advancements and the ease of acquiring what you need breeds apathy and self-centeredness. And then with that, comfort becomes the main goal, and then how much will we give up in order to be comfortable? Because resisting oppression and totalitarianism means becoming uncomfortable and taking risks. But in an instant gratification system, we have become accustomed to the instantly gratifying this or that. In fact, today on my couch, I needed to order a, one of our lids for our cooking cookware broke. Well, I ordered another one. It took me 2 minutes. And, you know, I was aware, this is so easy, isn't it? And this is the thing we've got to be careful of, because ease can often bring apathy, and that has deleterious effects virtually as well. We've got a break coming up. Hold on. We'll be right back, folks. We have 4 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Waiting to hear from you. Let's get back to Clay. Clay, you're back on the air.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting just to hear those two words used, and then they brought in the COVID-19 thing. They said, you know, that there's been confusion and people have been deceived about, you know, hearing certain things about, you know, wearing a mask and not wearing a mask. And, you know, people are just like, well, what do you do? Then, of course, you know, there's talk about all this stuff that's going on in Afghanistan. So I'm just, you know, wondering what your thoughts are about that, because, I mean, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I know that at some point, God the Father is going to send his son back, you know, to take us home. But, I mean, I've been hearing from several people that we are probably getting closer and closer, especially, all the crying out that's going on.
Well, when people say we're getting closer, well, of course we are. We're getting closer. That's exactly what it means. We're getting closer. We're always getting closer. So it's a meaningless statement. We're getting closer. Yeah, really? Well, I didn't know that. Of course we are. Now, the question is, is it pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture? Most people hold a pre-trib rapture. I don't see it as being biblical at all. Post-trib rapture seems to make more sense, at least from what I've seen. I believe we're going to go through stuff. And I believe that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and be prepared and know that Romans 8:28, God works all things for good for those who are called. And we have to be careful. But the Temple of Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt.
Something else that got my attention was called the Great Setup. Are you aware of something like that?
No. The reset, I am. And COVID's being used to trample our rights and shift power.
Well, I just want to say thank you, brother, for everything that you're doing and everything that you share and bringing stuff that you bring out in the open and opening the doors so that people can get a more reality shot of life, because it's very helpful. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for you. I just give thanks for the overall situation. So God bless you, brother. Have a happy Friday and everything else. And thank you for the job that you do. It is much, much appreciated.
Well, praise God. You're welcome. And God gets all the glory. And I'm just trying to, as the Bible says, submit all things to the Lordship of Jesus. All things. That includes what masks we wear, what clothes we wear, who we vote for, where do we go to church, movies, everything. Jesus is Lord of all, not just most. All right, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Chuck from Burlington, North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Matt. Hold on. Let me, Matt, I believe that everybody wants to be God.
In some sense, yes. Yeah, it's true. It depends on how we define
it.
We have to define, there are different levels of what that means. So an atheist would say they're not trying to be God because they don't believe in God. Well, what does it mean to be God? Is it an ontological essence exchange? Like Mormons teach that they're going to become gods, actual gods of planets. It's unbiblical and ungodly. It's just, horrible to say that. But nonetheless, yeah. And so that they teach that. But what does it mean when, I say to an atheist, I'll say, well, you're taking the place of God, because you want to decide what is right, what is morally good and bad, and you're taking the place of the one who is that Lord. And so they want to be God in that sense, in that they want to decide for themselves what's good for their own selves and what's, for themselves what is true and moral. And so to the extent that Christians do this, they're trying to usurp that authority and position that comes that is for God alone. So there's different levels we can understand that, and it's something that is real in this world.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. I was going to say something else, but I forget too much. Okay, thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate you always taking my calls, and you do have a great ministry, because for one thing, when you just tell the truth straight out as it is, Christians that want to know really appreciate it.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm kind of surprised that I've been on the air as long as I have, because I say difficult things. And so I know that a lot of Christians don't want to hear a lot of difficult stuff. And I get that. Because I can be kind of, a downer to a lot of people, because I have to deal with heresies all the time.
You're not.
People call
you're not.
Well, it's just a concern.
You're not a downer, Matt, when you tell the truth. When you tell the truth, you're not a downer, because you're doing what God wants you to do.
Praise God. That's the idea of saying teaching the truth. It's just that, do people want the truth? And that's what I'm telling people. And because the reason I'm talking about this is because you really kind of struck a nerve with me without realizing it. When I sleep, when I go to bed, I pray and talk to the Lord throughout the day and remember things. I always want to do my job better. And in the public eye, in radio and debates, I'm always trying to improve. And I want to make sure that Christians understand the severity and necessity of the situation that we are in, the necessity to stand up and stand for righteousness. But yet, so many people just, you know, they're just trying to make a living and survive. They don't have much energy to do much else. Right. You got families and stuff, and perfectly fine. But for those of us who can speak and do have those voices, that we're to speak. In fact, I was talking to my wife about this a week or so ago, and I was talking, and I said, "Hon, I'm willing to be arrested. You know, I can't not say the things that are true. And I know that when I speak about COVID vaccines and the harmful effects of masks, which I've researched today, claustrophobia, oxygen deprivation, nausea, dizziness, headaches, skin problems, increased stress hormones, psychological stress, and increased depression. When I talk about stuff like that, and I had the documentation for that, do people want to hear it? Well, what do we do with
it's information? It's awful, isn't it? Amazing kids do it. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. And I have documentation where the CDC says, this is the quote, if you are not fully vaccinated and age 2 or older, you should wear a mask in indoor public places.
Good night.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And here's another quote. I mean, I read this, and then this is the kind of stuff that will get me in trouble. I'm just reading, and this is what it says from BMJ.com, and it's a research organization, an article writing. It says, at the outset of the pandemic, WHO experts advise that use of face masks is not recommended, as potential benefits are rather limited, and there's a potential risk of self-contamination if used improperly. And it goes on, another research shows that moist mask is a breeding ground for antibiotic-resistant bacteria and fungi, which can undermine mucosal viral immunity. This research advocates use of medical surgical masks, etc. And you have to get rid of them every few hours. So I'm finding out that the use of masks can become actually more harmful. So
yeah,
hey,
you
hold
keep
on.
It up.
We got a break. So sorry about that. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. We have 4 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have 4 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get back to Chuck. Are you still there?
Yes, sir, Matt. Sure am. Sorry if you hear the lawnmowers in the background.
That's all right.
Nothing I can do about it.
Okay. Appreciate that. So, yeah. In fact,
yeah,
I found...
Yeah, I believe it is.
I found something that was very concerning. And I stumbled on it. I'm going to read a quote. This is from ScienceDirect.com. And I have the article stored in case they alter it or take it down. The longer these periods of viral or bacterial low exposure there are, that means you have these masks on all the time. Now, there's deleterious effects to that. And they do, to some degree, they do reduce transmission of droplets. But nevertheless, so for... The longer these periods of viral or bacterial low exposure are, the greater the likelihood of future epidemics. It's due to the decreased spread of RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. So it's due to the decreased spread of RSV this year as a result of anti-COVID measures. The natural protection of the population against RSV at the end of the winter will be lower than usual, raising fears of a more important RSV epidemic in the future. In other words, you have to be exposed to all kinds of stuff in the world to keep your immune system active and working. And the less you're exposed to stuff, the weaker your system, because it's not exercising. And so the mask wearing and the distancing is keeping everything apart. Now, of course, if there's a, you know, the bubonic plague or something like that, yeah, of course, it makes sense. It'll kill you quickly, but not this. Anyway, so the thing is that they're worried about this. The epidemics are going to be in place, are going to come because people's immune systems are going to be weakened. And I'm finding out that they're recommending to be masked if you're fully vaccinated, and that the vaccines, about every 6 months, drop about 10% in their efficacy. So they have to go back and get more and more. So this is, you know, I'm finding this stuff out, and it's concerning me.
Well, you're doing a good job. I hope Tucker's listening to you now, because he can pass it on to us at night, and I know he would love to know that. I don't know if he knows all of the much that you do.
Well, I listen to Tucker. Yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff to say. There's been a couple of logic problems I've seen him make, but minor.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. Now,
amen.
So we have to think of that.
We always just got to keep that in mind.
Always. So what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, the enemy wants control, so ultimately the gospel won't be preached. So look at what's happening in the measures of church closures around the world, persecution of ministers and pastors and Bible study leaders. You know, it's like, okay, what's going on here? I mean, going into people's homes, arresting people in their own homes because they had a church service. It's insane. And so I see this as being consistent with a demonic movement. And a lot of people don't recognize, you know, as Jesus says, when you see the storm come, when you see the red clouds or however it is, you know the storm is approaching. Well, I've always been able to, I believe, see things in the sense of
I believe so
one plus one plus one equals the problem. You know? And so I've always, that's why I understand what theology is necessary, what you got to see and believe in order to refute this and that. When cults start, this is how they go. The same kind of stuff I'm seeing in the COVID response from people and the government reminds me of cult control. And that started about 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago. And wait a minute, this is the same kind of stuff they do with cults or the cult groups. You know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, like CRT is like a cult.
Yeah.
When they force people to only accept what they say.
Yeah, right. And that's it. It's a form of brainwashing, and so you have to submit to the authority above you. Independent thinking is restricted, and this is what leads to totalitarianism. So I've been having to study that as well, and totalitarianism is really interesting, because think about this. See if this is what you think is happening around us. Now, here's a more sophisticated definition. A system of government where the state has all authority and power and the people have none. So now we're not in that state, but we're moving towards it. Power can rest in a single individual or a small group of people. Opposition parties are not allowed. Individual opposition is not allowed. State-issued identification is needed for travel. Political oppression is practiced, along with censorship of contrary ideas, confiscation of weapons, mass surveillance, and secret police. There's a state-led indoctrination in the media and schools, along with severe restrictions on religious freedom. In fact, Tucker, the other night, had a quote from some woman in charge of a lot of this stuff. Anyway, she said, people should be, arrested for not wearing masks or not getting the shot. That was for not getting the shot, not being inoculated. You know, like, what?
Yeah, so, and in Australia, tyranny. They did arrest that guy for sneezing. Remember, did you see that one
in
Australia?
Yeah, going after him. he sneezed. He didn't have a mask on. And so he sneezed with no one was around, and they're after him. See, it's tyranny, forcing vaccinations, requiring vaccination passports, pressuring the populace to submit to authoritarian rule, restriction of gun rights, working with private sectors to censor opposition parties, as the Facebook, Twitter's doing, forcing of state-sanctioned agendas in school, CRT, mask-wearing mandates. This is tyranny. But you see, when people don't study, they gradually just go, oh, okay, it sounds good. I can see giving up my rights to have safety. So it's called thesis antithesis. And what happens is the where you're at is a normal level of living, and then there's a crisis. And then with the crisis, in order to have the crisis be reduced, you have to give up certain rights. You do. That becomes your new norm. And after a while, they have another crisis, and then the process moves as you move further and further towards totalitarianism, communism, socialism, and things like this. So, you know, I'm a theologian. I'm having to study this stuff because people are emailing and writing they're asking questions on the radio and chat rooms I go into. So I'm forced to study this stuff. And
praise the Lord, you know, all as much as God is using you, you know. I envy you, Matt, because I knew I should have been a preacher a long time ago, but I didn't go in the Marines for 2 years and go to Vietnam, and then, but my dad wanted me to go to the Navy. Nevertheless, long story, you know, he feared it. He was in World War II. But anyway, gosh, goodness.
Well, it's just, we need to wake up as Christians. Yeah, we need to wake up as Christians, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say this before we get to the next caller, but I think that what we should do is have a national organization that we contribute, say, $5 or $10 a month to, and the money will be used for lawsuits, and that everybody who signs up has to pass an agreement, and do such things as around our state capitals.
Yeah, because individually, we can't do that much. How can we, you know, an army has to fight with a lot of people. Individually, we can't do that much. You know, I mean, what do I do if the cops come to my house and arrest me?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. There's a way to do stuff. And so,
sorry.
All right, that's okay. Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Well, the Lord is using you, Matt. And you know what, Matt? Right. It's all of the Lord. Remember, He's in you.
The Lord.
And He's tricking your brain.
Well,
read this, study that. It's
Read a lot.
That you are doing this good work for Him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm not.
That's right. Glory to God. All right, Chuck. Thanks a lot.
Brother.
God bless.
Yep.
So I was going to say that if we had a national kind of an organization or organization that people, conservatives, could join where they contribute a little bit of money and we have people that we trust who are in control of this, be careful, make sure they are... trustworthy, and then we organize groups. I think a good idea would be we sign up, and on a certain day, everybody with the last name A goes to the capital of their respective state or their mayor office, whatever, with signs. We want our country back, or we want this, or vote no on that, or whatever it might be. And they have to email do things like this. And if everybody were to do this on, say, a certain day on the first of the month, then the people with the last name B on the second day of the month, etc., we did it for 3 weeks, except for Sunday off. I think these kind of things all over the country would just bring awareness to the issues of what's going on. We would need a crowd control. You'd need protection because the Antifa and BLM mobsters go in and they do all kinds of stuff and cause problems. But this is what happens when you stand up for righteousness. Is the enemy wants to thwart it. And let me tell you, I've stood up for righteousness so many times, and it's cost me. It's just the nature of what it is. But we need, I wish we had some national figure who would organize something and do something like this. I would sort of contribute to it. We need to stand up united against the united onslaught of the tyranny that's coming towards us that will remove our spiritual authority and rights to preach and teach the gospel. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, welcome. You're on the air.
How are we doing, Matt?
Doing okay, man. What do you got, buddy?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I got some family members go to a small Southern Baptist church,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed they keep posting things about, you know, real legalistic, like you can't drink, you can't do this, and you can't, and you got to tithe. And they even shared a sermon where it had like another big Southern Baptist guy, Steve Gaines, saying that, you know, if you don't tithe, then God might kill you. And he took, like, Ananias and Sapphira, that out of context, to push that.
Yeah.
What's the danger of that?
Legalism, self-righteousness, arrogance, pride, false teaching, misdirection. So, yeah, you're not obligated to tithe in the New Testament. You're free to. If you want to tithe, you tithe. And that's between you and God. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 is not about not tithing. It's about lying. They sold most of the property and then kept a portion back and then lied, saying that they had sold everything. And so they were judged for that. That's what the issue was. So, use that in that way, the false way there, you know, it's just shameful. So, you know, and if you can't drink alcohol, then why did Jesus, his first miracle is making real wine? And if you can't drink alcohol, why does Proverbs say in Proverbs 31:6, it's been a while since I've quoted that, but let me make sure it's the right one. I'm pretty almost positive it is. 31:6 says, give strong drink to him who's perishing in wine. To him whose life is bitter, let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. So, why would the Bible advocate that question? Mm-hmm. What are you saying?
I ask him that question, and they're like, well, it wasn't alcohol. It was just grape juice, or... I'm like, okay, seriously.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it's a ridiculous statement. It's grape juice. No, it was wine, because it was called wine, and wine was not very alcoholic. But the wine steward, he knew what wine was in John 2, and he called it wine. It wasn't grape juice. These are people who hold this. They have the right to not drink, but they don't have the right to impose it on others. And if you want to have a drink, you can have a drink. Just be responsible. That's all. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I told him. I'm not advocating getting drunk or anything. I'm advocating,
right,
you know, wine here or there. A sip of drink, that's fine. I mean, like, even Jesus drank the people, because it said, you know, the Pharisee called him a wine bibber. So,
yep, that's, he eats with drunkards. Yeah, that's right. Hang around with them. So, you know, in light of this, I have the resume of Jesus is on CARM. You can go to CARM and type in resume of Jesus, and he's applying to work at a church, and it's a little dialogue between some people and. You know, how people are legalistic and self-righteous in so many ways. They don't realize what the truth really is in a lot of things. Okay?
All right, sounds good. I have to look that up.
All right.
All right, thank you, Matt.
God bless. Okay, let's get to Kit from Arizona. Kit, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt, I had a debate on Discord about 6 years ago about that.
Oh, hey,
there's
Kit.
A different word in Greek for grape juice than there is for wine. So it's a different word. They would have used the right word in the Bible.
That's right. Hey, kid, how you doing?
Anyway, that's something we called about.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I know this guy. We talk every now and then.
I can tell you about the private stuff later.
What's that?
I'm feeling guilty about something, and I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use people's names in it. You might even know the person I'm talking about. But there's somebody on Discord that I preach to for like 6 months, like 10 hours a day. I've given him the gospel thousands of times, and then he started being a drunken reprobate. There's no other way to say it. He was posting sexually explicit things about Jesus and all of that, and so I cut him off. And I used the verse where Jesus said, you know, if you go to a town and they don't accept you, they don't give you peace,
right,
you know, dust off the dust off of your feet and yeah, go to the next place.
It's appropriate,
and
yes.
This happened a couple of months ago, and now I'm feeling really guilty about it.
Why?
And I'm just wondering how you deal with things like that. This person is absolutely an atheist. They call themselves an atheist. They don't call themselves a Christian or anything like that. And I know he's been throwing a temper tantrum ever since I cut him off, but I'm just wondering how you deal with it, or if you ever feel guilty about that.
No,
cutting
if you've
off.
Given the gospel, you've given the gospel, and I know you are quite capable of doing that. and they reject it, okay, they reject it. That's on them. You've done your part. You've gone way, above what I think is necessary. I'm not complaining. It's just you've been so gracious, and you tell people stuff, and you're long-suffering with them. If they reject that, that's not on you. It's just not on you. You need to pray that God would deal with them, because, you know, they're imprecatory psalms. God, get them. And so maybe pray, God, get them. Discipline them so that he can come to you. But why worry about it? See, one of the things, I have an advantage over a lot of people in that I moved 26 times before I was 12, and so I learned not to put my hopes in friends and people. So if they turn on me, okay, well, it's nice knowing you. I got things to do. I'll go do something else. And so that's an advantage. And I think that's helpful, particularly when we do apologetics, knowing that certain people will become obstreperous and vindictive. And that's on them, as long as you've done what you're supposed to do.
Well, usually when they are, you know, they go, usually they go away when they're like that. You know, they don't they don't beg to be with you after they get mean and nasty. But this guy is, he's being mean and nasty and wants to spend his time with me. I don't know if that's what's causing the guilt or not.
Sounds like an unstable person. One of the things I have done in certain situations in internet history is I've kept records on people, not for malicious intent, but when I find that someone is like that, then what I do is I start taking notes. Well, they said this here at this time, here's what they said, here's this and that, because you'll find that it becomes very useful later. We say, no, you said this, here's the exact quote. And, you know, I'll ask them, could you type that out to me, and I can copy it, and things like that. So that I can get exactly what it is they're saying. I don't do it very often, but when you meet people who are difficult, then using their own words against them can be sometimes very helpful. It means to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. So, but for the most part, just ignore them. Block them. Who cares, you know?
It's perfectly okay when we presented the gospel. I don't want to say skillfully. I mean, I don't know what that means, but when we presented the gospel to somebody thoroughly many times, and they reject it, and they reject Jesus, and they're very clear about the rejection of Jesus,
it's
perfectly okay to move on to the next person and not go back to that person, especially when they're throwing a temper tantrum and being as rebellious to Jesus as they can. I don't care how he treats me, but I do care how he treats Jesus in the gospel.
Well, you know, you've been in a lot of rooms that I've been in, and we've had discussions.
Yeah.
You know how I require of people when I have discussions. I say one at a time, be patient, be polite, don't be insulting. And then if they become insulting, I say, look, you know, I already asked, don't be insulting. And if you're not going to, you know, comply with that, I'll just go someplace else and talk to somebody else. And, you know, I've done that countless times, and I've left. And what happens is, after a while, people get it. Yeah, Matt will leave, you know, and he can't ask questions. And so it's setting an example of trying to be polite, as Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says. That's the idea. They will learn. But when you find people who are basically kind of stalkers, you know, you just ban them.
Yeah.
Just ban them, you know, whatever.
That's one of the reasons I asked you is, this is certainly something you have dealt with before. It's not not something that has never occurred to you.
I could tell you stories about being stalked by people online, and where attacks have been made, personal attacks have been made, threats have been made. I've got stories. I've got a lot of stories about Satanists, wacko women, for some reason. More women than men who are after me, and there's a guy who's produced a five-hour video on why me personally, why I'm not a Christian. 5 hours. So, you know, it's just what it is. When you're a public figure, you have to take this kind of stuff. And so the more public you become, the more that's going to happen, and you just have to deal with it, and that's just life. And you pray for them, and you move on.
Okay, so I'm like I said, I'm just trying to make sure I haven't wronged him in any way, or that there's,
you? Heck no! You're so polite.
My sin is forgiven.
No, you're polite.
I know my sin is forgiven, and I just don't want to be guilty before my Lord in anything, you know.
Yeah, and
not
I know
legalism,
you.
Just, you know.
I know. But you know something? I'm going to tell you. We've had many conversations, and you have a good heart before the Lord.
Sure.
You want to honor Him. And that comes out in different ways, and it's quite obvious. And I think you're not, I'm not going to say overly sensitive, because that's, no, it's a good sensitive, but I think you also need to be aware that you've done your part, and there's just an appropriate time to move on. And maybe the devil is trying to use this person to distract you from preaching the gospel to others. So you got to think about that and make a decision, do your best, move on, and if you don't think you did it right, you pray, talk to God about it, and you move on again. Okay?
Yeah, and for the other things, I can update you sometime when we are on Discord together,
right,
or whatever, because it's not appropriate over the radio show.
Yeah, I may get on tonight, as a matter of fact, now that I'm caught up with a lot of stuff.
God bless you. I love you. Continue on with the show. You're great, even if your wife doesn't think so.
That's true. She doesn't think so. All right, man. Thanks a lot, buddy. All right. We'll talk to you later. All right. That was Kit. Yeah, he's a good guy. I've known him for a while. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Matt Slick. What do you think about that? Can people say when I put down somebody's religion, even though you're trying to expose the heresy or the false teaching they're teaching, that's when you're putting them down. You're trying to bring them to the light, to the truth. So I was raised up a Catholic, you know, and if people would expose me as a heretic or was something, or protected, I didn't know anything about religion, you know.
So what's your question?
Back then, or false.
What's
my question is, it's not being putting down somebody's religion just because she's trying to show them the truth or exposing their false teaching.
I'm not sure what you're asking, but it is okay to point out people's theological errors. Like when I say Mormonism
right.
is false, you know, and Catholicism teaches a false gospel. Yeah, it's perfectly okay to say those things.
Yeah, because I was raised a Catholic. My daddy was raised a Catholic. We used to drink in Christmas time, booze and all that, dance, secular music. I didn't know any better. I was lost. I mean, I thought I was raised in the Catholic Church, so, I mean, I didn't know about the truth. My daddy got upset when I left the Catholic Church, but he accepted the Lord before he passed away, thank God. You know, my mom, too, and all that. But they were biblically literate because they weren't taught. You know, nothing. You can't blame them because they weren't taught, you know, they raised all their life as a Catholic, so they didn't, nobody told them about the scripture, so... But eventually, you know,
they discovered
the
truth. There we go, buddy. We're out of time. So sorry about that. Hey, Jamie from Idaho, call back next week, and we can talk, because taking notes on people. Yeah, I do. And I've got some interesting stuff from 10, 15 years ago. And it sometimes comes in handy. Nevertheless, may the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday by God's grace.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.